Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. November 18, 2021. My thoughts on Twitter November 18, 2021. Jews have no capacity to defend their righteousness, for we feel in our genes that we're to blame for everyone's woes. The only escape lies in rising above and becoming an example of unity to all people. Thus we will fulfill our mission and secure respect and pride instead of lowliness. From Twitter, November 18, 2021. My new article on LinkedIn, Why a Jewish President of France Would Be Bad for the Jews. Eric Zemmour has been a French journalist and political commentator since 1986, when he began his career. He has always been considered an eloquent right-wing thinker who presents his ideas calmly and logically, and with great conviction. No one thought of Zemmour as a politician, not until recently, when rumors that he would run for the presidency began to spread. Since then, his popularity has skyrocketed, and from near anonymity, he became the leading candidate of the right, trailing incumbent President Emmanuel Macron by only 7 percentage points. Since the French presidential elections are conducted into rounds, and only the two leading candidates compete in the second round, the prospect of Zemmour becoming president is very real. But Zemmour is not only a journalist. He is also Jewish. In a liberal society like France, we might think that a person's religion is immaterial in politics. However, if you are Jewish, it is a different story. Zemmour himself does not make an issue of his Jewishness. He wants people to relate only to his views on France's burning issues. However, in France, with its history of deeply rooted antisemitism and millions of migrants who have moved there over the past several decades, and to which Zemmour proposes a tough approach, Zemmour's religion will clearly be an issue. In my eyes, France's Jews have much to worry about as it is, but the last thing they need is a Jewish president, and they will do what they can to avoid it. As a whole, it is not good for Jews to be political leaders in any country besides Israel. Jews are always under scrutiny, so a Jew as head of state will be many times more so. Nothing good will come from such attention. It will only intensify Jew hatred and possibly accelerate the advancement of Islam in France. Jews have a very particular calling. Until we realize it and present it to the world, we should not be in the forefront. We have no business fighting for principles and values that, however meritorious, have nothing to do with the correct conduct of the Jewish people. It will not help Jews. It will not help the world, and there is nothing in this whole campaign but the pride of a man who wants to be the leader of the French. It is simply unwise. Without intending to, Zemmour as president will be very bad for Jews, in France and elsewhere. The only role that Jews should play in the world is that of fostering unity, solidarity, and mutual responsibility among all people. This is the true legacy of the Jewish people, the tenets of Judaism that the entire world admires, but which no one can realize. The Jews, as progenitors of these noble ideas, and who established their ancient society on them, must rebuild their union in order to set an example for the world. Then, after they reconnect as one man with one heart, they will have an asset that will earn them the appreciation of the world. Jewish leadership is not done through power or authority, but by personal example. In antiquity, in times when we had a unified society worth learning from, we did not need to exert power in order to succeed. People came to Jerusalem to learn how we lived and implement our ways in their own countries. For example, the book Sefer Devarim writes that when Jews celebrated their unity during the festivals of pilgrimage, people from around the world would go up to Jerusalem and see Israel. And say, it is becoming to cling only to this nation. In those days of solidarity, Ptolemy II, king of Egypt, summoned 70 sages from Jerusalem to translate the 5 books of Moses into Greek, thereby creating the first translation of the Bible. But before he sent them off to translate, he sat with them and learned from them. According to Flavius Josephus, after 2 weeks of extensive learning he said he had learned how he ought to rule his subjects. Even notorious antisemites related to the ancient Jewish society as a role model. The infamously antisemitic car maker Henry Ford wrote in his composition The International Jew, "The world's foremost problem, modern reformers, who are constructing model social systems on paper, would do well to look into the social system under which the early Jews were organized. Succinctly, if Jews wish to contribute to the world, they should focus on their own unity. Out of all the contributions that Jews have given to the world, this is the only one that humanity really needs, and the only one that it appreciates." Does war between America and China await us? In the news, Le Figaro, Indo-Pacific, Washington and Beijing fear that a miscalculation will set the world ablaze. The arms race that accompanies competition between the United States and China in the region increases the risk of military slippage. It worries them, but they can't do anything about it. Asian countries are watching the dialogue between the blind and the deaf with horror. They don't know how to maintain a trusting relationship with both opponents, who have already grabbed knives. My response: we understand that what is written in the newspapers is being done by someone specifically to increase ratings, or who is paid to do so, and so on. Neither America nor China is interested in a serious war with each other. The fact is that there is no point in waging war today. For what? There is such a wave of extensive global crisis that will wash away everything. It's like a tsunami. And therefore there is no point in rushing into the water before that, when such a wave is coming at you. Therefore I don't think it's serious. Question: then where is the real tension? Answer: the real tension is not between the military and not between countries. There is a real tension between us, and nature. Because winter is coming, there will be all kinds of huge natural disasters. This is the problem. It is necessary to survive the winter properly and well. The government should think about it. And they do think because the ratings and elections and everything else depend on it. So everyone is worried, concerned, that this winter will not bring all kinds of tsunamis, earthquakes, floods, snowstorms, and everything else. Comment: so now you've a kind of brought us back to the old years when we were worried about cold winters. We weren't worried for a while, everything was fine. Suddenly now nature has begun to press us. My response: yes. There's nothing you can do. It used to be our weakness. Nature didn't press us, particularly, we just didn't have much strength to oppose ourselves to the changes of nature. And now nature is starting to work with us. Question: is our main task to establish a dialogue with nature? Answer: yes. This is the most important thing. Nature will not leave us alone until we become different. Then to the extent of this, it will change. Question: you keep saying that we should come to good connection and so on, and nature will change toward us. Does it tell us this somehow? Answer: very simply. There is still vegetative, animal, and human nature. Human nature is at its peak, at the last, fourth stage. And all the other stages of nature depend on it. If we bring ourselves more or less to some kind of balance at our level, in this case we will come down all the steps below accordingly. In Kabbalistic books everything is written very simply, openly, clearly, and dozens of times. Question: that positive force exists only in nature? Answer: yes. And after all, a person can change all this. He causes imbalance and can cause balance. From Cab TV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, October 4, 2021. The object of research is man. The problem of modern science is that we have reached a threshold where we can feel, supplement, and control our senses. This is why all scientists say that science has reached its limits. And Kabbalah says that in our five senses we have practically reached the limit, that we cannot see anything beyond it anymore. We do not need to invent new devices that can only slightly expand our sensory organs but expand the senses themselves. Science cannot do this because it deals only with mechanical addition to a person. We need to change man himself, to develop him a little from the inside. This is what Kabbalah does. Therefore, we come to the conclusion that Kabbalah should replace sciences as their continuation, and give an answer to how to expand the limits of our attainment and come to a state where we can develop a person so that one attains greater depths of nature. In Kabbalah, the object of study is man himself. He can measure his changes by his own instruments, which are inside and not outside of him. From Cab TV's A Conversation About Science. Michael Leitman, on Quora, why is human suffering disproportionate due to some people suffering much more than others? We each have different roles in the intricate interdependent system that we live in. Similar to how a human body is a complete system, but which has different parts with different functions, likewise we each occupy different places in the system we share. For instance, some of us are closer to the system's brain, and others, to the system's hands, legs, body and so on. The complete perception of the full extent of our interdependence is beyond our current narrow individualistic worldviews. However, if we saw the complete picture of the system we all exist in, then we would see how each person holds a unique and different route in this great big system. We thus each have different destinies, initial conditions and final states. While it might seem unfair that some people suffer disproportionately in relation to others, if we discover the perception of the complete system in which we exist, then we would see exactly why everything unfolds as it does. Likewise, the purpose of all suffering is ultimately to awaken in us questions about its cause and purpose, and such questions serve to lead us to a point where we become willing to rise above our narrow and limited worldviews, and enter into the perception of the complete picture of reality. By doing so, we discover the reason for all suffering, and how to conduct ourselves harmoniously and peacefully in the system we all share, alleviating the need for further suffering. In short, if we positively connect to each other so that we would realize our relationships in this system harmoniously, that is where we each complement each other and achieve a state of equilibrium, then we would discover our interdependence in its positive form, and why we have each been given specifically the place and the function that we have been given in this system. In the end, while we each hold different roots and functions in this system, we will find how we are all equal in relation to what is required of us, to positively connect to each other above our initial conditions and states, in order to discover a harmonious and peaceful existence. I also recommend reading an answer I wrote to a similar question recently for further detail on this topic, why do bad things always happen to me? Based on a lesson, Fundamentals of Kabbalah, with Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman on February 16, 2016. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman. The relevance of the Book of Zohar. The Book of Zohar was written in the 2nd century by 10 Kabbalists who gathered together in a cave, wrote it over a long period, and then hid it. The book was found in the 11th century, but it was not truly revealed until the 20th century. Since that time it has become suitable for understanding and use by Kabbalists. And before that even Kabbalists could not understand it. The great Kabbalist of the 20th century, Yehuda Ashlag, Baal HaSulam, wrote the Sulam commentary on the Book of Zohar, and it became a working book for us. Why? If we gather among ourselves in dozens, as did those who wrote the Book of Zohar, trying to unite with each other in order to reveal the upper world and describe it, we act in the same way they did, and then we begin to understand what they wrote. In our time, the Book of Zohar becomes especially relevant for us, since now souls who are capable and ready for such comprehension have descended into our world. And although this book has passed through many generations, it is in our generation that it has really become a tool for comprehending the true universe and managing our own destiny. From CapTV's conversation about the Book of Zohar. Children cannot be made rich dummies. In the news, CNBC, James Bond actor Daniel Craig says his children won't be receiving his multi-million dollar fortune. Daniel Craig may command eight-figure Hollywood paychecks, but the 53-year-old actor isn't planning on sharing much of it with his children. In the most recent issue of Candice magazine, Craig detailed his philosophy on inheritance, saying he doesn't plan to have much money left to give to his children by the time he dies. Isn't there an old adage that if you die a rich person, you've failed? Craig said in the interview, according to the Times of London. Craig says that he finds it distasteful to leave heirs massive amounts of money. My philosophy is get rid of it or give it away before you go, Craig said. Question: what do you think about his solution? How does it feel for children to hear this? Here they are, sitting and listening, and Dad says, you will not get anything from me. Answer: no, nothing does not mean nothing. This means that everyone will have a house, some kind of bank account, a couple of million. Comment: there will be a launch pad. My response: yes, this is the correct approach. That is, paying for university, a good wedding gift, and so on, that's okay. But nothing more. Question: that is, everything is not transferred to the family, everything to the estate. Just what is needed? What does this do to a young man? Answer: it prepares him for life. He understands that he must prepare himself for the basis of life. He must work, study, and acquire a specialty, perhaps create some kind of enterprise with the money that his father will give him that will help create this. But not that he will be a rich dummy all his life. Question: that is, if he gets all the money at once, as you say, and becomes a rich dummy, what does that do to him? Answer: it kills a person. There is nothing worse. Question: he will not be able to start at some pace, continue, and so on? Answer: only if he is squeezed. Question: do you think that proper parenting includes pinching too? Answer: absolutely. Without this, absolutely nothing sensible will come of a person. It is written in the Torah that in no case show your children that you are rich, and much less that you are preparing to leave something for them. You promise to help them prepare themselves for a good, normal, intelligent, productive life. And that's all. Question: you mean you should not spoil your children? Answer: no way. Question: help them a little and let them go? Answer: yes. Question: so you are in favor of what Daniel Craig says? Answer: yes, I agree with him. From CapTV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, August 19, 2021. What good intentions can lead to? Question: if I try to do something good to a person, does it mean I want to do something good to the Creator? Answer: what does it mean, you want to do something good for a person? As the saying goes, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Comment: but you always say that the Creator is in the good connections between people. My response: you need to understand what good connection means. This must be learned. Maybe, on the contrary, by sincerely wishing good things to a person, I push him to some kind of misfortune. Comment: probably the simplest thing is to satisfy his desires. My response: this is the worst thing. Certainly not good. The only thing we can say, what is good for a person, is to teach him to distinguish between good and evil. From CapTV's Spiritual States, October 19, 2021. Kabbalah and the Consumer Economy, Part 7. Correcting the Egoistic Nature. Question: what is the current tendency? What is the world coming to? Answer: the tendency of humanity is very simple. This year and especially next year we will feel that we can no longer exist like this. Humanity will hit a wall. Question: is the current crisis calling for recognition of evil? Is nature pushing us to understand that excessive consumption leads to relationships that separate us from the Creator? Answer: no. Our egoistic nature separates us from the Creator. Excessive consumption is the consequence of egoism. However, I do not have to consume a lot. I can just lie on the couch and twiddle my thumbs, watch football from morning to evening, and drink beer. Is this excessive consumption or not? I do not bother anyone, I do not exploit anyone, I drink a case of beer a day and watch 20 matches. Am I doing any harm to someone by this? Question: is this not egoism? Answer: this is egoism but clearly revealed. Question: do we need to correct such egoism? Answer: yes. Question: what for? After all, I am not doing this at the expense or detriment of anyone. Answer: this is where the problem arises. We will need to understand why any egoism needs to be corrected. Question: even if it is not at the expense of others? Answer: even if you do only good to people from morning to evening and they see only a kind attitude and receive pleasure from you. Up to that point. The fact is that all types of communication are egoistic. We must correct our nature at its very core. Even if I live without doing anything wrong to anyone, I am still an egoist, and I still have to correct myself. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, January 3, 2019. Is it possible to be simultaneously in all the worlds? Question: can the property of one and the same person be simultaneously in all the worlds, or does the development happen in sequence? Answer: development happens strictly in sequence because a person cannot change his attributes in leaps. One reveals desires on each level, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, and must create a masark, screen, over them, then the so-called zivugdehaka, coupling with striking, and receive the direct light in the reflected light, etc. That is, all actions are clearly predetermined as a sequence. None of us can skip a level, or several levels, or be in several levels simultaneously. If you are on one of the upper levels, you can clothe yourself in any lower level to perform certain actions. It is the same in our world where an adult can play a child's game with a child. But at the same time, you still remain on your level. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, October 6, 2019.